You to you from the Word. I love this Bible case because I love it for two reasons. One, because my mum made it for me. I said, "Mum, I want a Bible case made out of tiger fur." And my mum, being my humble mum, she said, "I'll give it a go." And I think she did a great job. But the other reason I love it is because when I was doing Bible classes, if I was getting a little bit sleepy, I always thought, you know, maybe I could soak it up through. I want to read to you from Romans chapter 6. You can look this up if you want to read along with me. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of those of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Heavenly Father wants your whole heart. Our Lord Jesus wants your whole heart. The Holy Spirit wants your whole heart. He wants all of you. And that might seem scary. It's scary, isn't it, to give your heart to someone, to give up control, to let go. But it's the only sensible thing to do, isn't it? Because giving your heart to God leads to freedom. It leads to health. It leads to life. It might be scary, but it's the only sensible thing to do. In our reading that I just read you, Paul explains that we can either be a slave to sin or we can be a slave to God. There's no other choice. We want to be slaves to ourselves, but that's really just slavery to sin. That's what people out there in the world say. I'm not a slave to anyone. But if they say that, I think you'll find they're already a slave to sin. There's no other choice. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to God. But when I say the word slavery, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking being trapped, being chained. That's not slavery to God. Because when God is your master, when God is your father, when God is your master and your father, you are free. You are whole. You're under grace. You're under freedom. See how the father loves his two sons in the parable of the prodigal son. Both sons were lost, and the father loves them unconditionally, ridiculously. It's ridiculous the way the father receives his sons and the way he just lavishes his love on them. That's how the father loves us. That's what our slavery to God looks like. I don't know how he can call that slavery. Well, Paul says himself, it's ridiculous to call us slaves, but he says, I'm using an example from your own lives that you can identify with. Don't we often think that being a Christian is about doing stuff for God? It's about following his rules and pleasing God. I mean, I know better than that. I've been taught better than that, but I still act like it. I don't know why. Part of me still wants to hold on to that old trying to do stuff for God. I want to serve him. I want to give my life for him. And of course we do. And that's part of what it is to be his children, but it's not slavery. Not really. And God doesn't need your service. Think about it. That's ridiculous. The God who has everything, who created everything, he doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need servants. And you know what? He doesn't even need your friendship, because the Father lives with the Son and the Holy Spirit in perfect love and unity that we can't even imagine. They have so much oneness that we call them one. Three persons, one God. God doesn't need anything from you. Actually, it's the other way around. You need everything from him. And that's what he created us for, to receive his love. Because he just wanted to share what the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit have. They wanted to share it with us. That's what slavery is. I want more of that. Absolutely. Absolutely. See, God wants your whole heart. He wants everything. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He wants your whole heart so he can make your heart whole. All through the Bible, God makes it very clear, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, he wants people to give him everything. He says he wants us to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. That's in Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 and also Mark 12 verse 30. Old and New Testament, it's the same. God wants everything. In the Old Testament, when God called his people out of slavery, he rescued them, called them out into the desert, and he said, right, you're going to be my people. You're my chosen people. I've saved you, and I'm going to be there for you always. I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to bless you. And he said, I want you to be faithful to me. And he made an agreement, a covenant with them at Mount Sinai, and he said, I just want you to love me, and I want you to love each other. He said, I want everything. There is to be no other God above me. Nothing above me. And he said, I'm a jealous God. He's jealous for us. He's jealous for our love. He wants everything. Unfortunately, the Israelites, as you might know, were not very faithful. They weren't very good at being God's people. God tried to set them apart so they could be a blessing to the world. And, well, you can read the Old Testament for yourself. They did a pretty terrible job at that. And so God said to them, he promised them, one day he would come and give them a new heart, and a new mind. This is from Jeremiah 31, verse 33 and 34. He says, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And you know how he did that? You know how he gave us a new heart? He sent Jesus. But you know what Jesus said? He called his followers to be all in as well, didn't he? He said, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. This is Matthew 16, 24 to 27. Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they've done. These are heavy words, aren't they? Is he asking for much? He's asking for everything. One of my favorite heroes from history, from church history, or just from all history, is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I won't start talking to you about him because I won't stop. Absolutely love him. There's his biography out in the library. If you want a good read, you'll need a long time, but it's fantastic. Anyway, he said in a book called The Cost of Discipleship, he said, when Jesus calls a man, he bids him come and die. When Jesus calls a man, he says, come and die. We die to sin. We die to our old self. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new life. That's freedom. But he says, I want all of you. I want everything. I want your heart. I want your whole heart so I can make your heart whole. And Jesus warned his followers. He said, think about this carefully, guys. If you want to be my followers, you better count the cost, because you're going to suffer. You might lose your family. You're going to be dragged before councils. Peter and John got dragged before the council, the whole Jewish council. Two fishermen. And they were so bold. I love that story. I better not start talking about that one as well. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. In his first letter to the church, Peter, the Apostle Peter, the one Jesus called the Rock, he writes to the church in Asia Minor, which is, Turkey now? And he says to the church, he encourages them to set their minds on Jesus and to be ready for the day when Jesus returns. He just reminds them, Jesus is coming back, guys. Remember, be alert, be ready. He reminds them that our hope is not in the things of this world. That's our old life. We've left that behind. Our hope is in Jesus. Our life is everlasting. Our home is not here. I mean, the earth is a beautiful home, isn't it? But this is not the end. Our real home is with our Father when the earth is recreated. That's our hope. We've got to set our minds on that. So Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Does he ask much? Is God asking much of us? He's asking for all of you. He wants all of you. Not so you can be his slave, not so you can do stuff for him. He doesn't need that. So he can heal you and make you whole. See, the more you give him of your heart, the more you give him of your life, the more he can heal, the more he can restore, the more he can make you whole. The more pieces you give to him, the more he can put back together. Am I right? Giving your heart to God takes time. But he's patient. I know he's patient. I think he's had to be more patient with me in my only 33 years than he's probably had to be with all you guys put together. I know God is patient. He's got all the time in the world. He's got more than the time in the world. But we just have to learn to trust him and let go. How hard is that? Just got to learn to trust him and let go. And the beautiful thing is he even teaches us that. As he teaches us how much he loves us, says, you can trust me. It's okay. It's okay. Let go. And as he does that, we can just give him more. A little bit more. See, I used to think when you come to church, I shouldn't tell you this because I'm a pastor. I used to think when you came to church, you had to get it all together. And, you know, Jesus has done so much for me. I want to give him everything. I want to do it all for him. And I want to do him proud. That's what I used to think. And I used to try and do it on my own. And it took me a while to realize this. Maybe you figured it out quicker than me. But you just can't. You can't do that. You can't serve him like that. He doesn't want your heart so you can serve him. He wants your heart so he can heal you, put you back together. And you can't serve him until he's done that. Of course, at the same time, we're already redeemed. This is the bizarre kind of dual nature of this. We are already new. We're a new creation. We're children of God. We're champion sons of the King. But we're learning how to be champion sons of the King. It's what we are already. That's our identity. That's who we are. We just got to learn how to be that. And God is patiently teaching us. He says, just give me a bit more. Just come over here. I'm just going to teach you one more thing. Just let go of that. He's just teaching us. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to live in us. This is incredible. Just to teach us in each moment. And so I'm learning. I know that I'm redeemed, but I'm learning slowly. I'm learning to let go. And I don't always have it together. And sometimes I need to come to the end of myself. Maybe it's the same for you. Before I can realize I just need to let go. Because we hold on so tight to these things, to our pride. I've got to do it. I've got to prove myself. I've got to do God proud. We hold on so tight to these things and then we just run out of our own strength and we just have to let go. It's like, you know, you can't hold your breath until you die because eventually you'll just pass out and then you'll start breathing again. I think it's kind of like that with God. Like we hold on so tight and then we just kind of collapse into his arm and then we let go and we learn to let go and then he rebuilds us. And then he builds us up. And strengthens us and makes us new, makes us whole. God wants your whole heart and he wants to cleanse your heart. I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know what maybe guilt you've brought with you. Hopefully you've already had that prayed for and you've given it up. But if you haven't, give it up. Let God have that guilt. You can't carry it. Maybe it's that habitual sin that you can't beat. Maybe you've been hurt by someone and you carry the guilt from someone else's sin. Give it to God. Give him your heart so he can make it whole. Jesus shed his blood to wash our hearts clean, to cleanse us. Give him your heart so he can wash you clean. And God wants your heart so he can heal your wounds. He can heal your heart. What wounds are you still carrying? From your childhood, from those rough and rebellious teenage years, these things rob us of our freedom. You know, that's the illusion of the world. We think that freedom is doing whatever we want. That's what people think freedom is. But doing whatever you want doesn't lead to freedom, does it? It leads to slavery. You just become a slave to whatever you give yourself to. Give yourself to your lust and you become a slave to your lust. Give yourself to your work, you become a slave to your work. This is what Paul's talking about in Romans 6. You give yourself to anything else and you'll become a slave to it. Who is the only one that we are safe to be slaves to? Jesus, God, because he's our good, good Father. And he's the only one who has enough to give us, enough love. He's the only one who can heal us. You can't fix yourself. You just got to give your heart to him. Give God your whole heart so he can make your heart whole. And this is a tough one. God wants your heart to be dedicated to him. He wants your life to be given to him. He wants you to turn away from the things of this world. Do you hear Paul talking about that? Turn away from the old things and live in the new life that God has for us. That's hard to let go, because I want to keep doing those things because I like them. And we feel safe doing the old things, doing things the old way. It's hard to let go of the old ways. But God wants your whole heart. And when you give it to him, it's freedom. It's freedom. And this is really interesting. God wants to make you holy. I don't know if you've heard much about the word holy. Holy means quite a lot of things. The usual one that we talk about is set apart. Something that's holy is set apart for a different purpose. And it's more than that. It's not just like set apart for a different purpose, but it's something that's set apart, which is holy, is pure. And it's set apart from unclean things. And we read all about this in the Old Testament. Something that's holy is set apart from the unclean things of this world. And the Israelites had to set themselves apart from the world. And they had a lot of trouble doing that. But they had to set themselves apart and they had to wash themselves to make them holy and pure. But it's interesting, the word holy actually comes from the word whole. And God is the only one who is completely whole. He doesn't need anything from anyone. He's completely self-reliant. God is the pure source of holiness. And he wants to make us whole. He wants to make us pure. He wants to set us apart from this world so he can make us whole. And he's the only one that can do that because he is the Holy One. He is the whole one. Do you see what I'm talking about? God wants to make you whole. He wants your whole heart. He wants you all in. And you can trust him because he's our Father. And as we learn to trust him, you can let go. And the more you give him, the more he'll put you back together. And I'm learning that. And I'll still be learning that in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time. We're learning to be the people God has already made us to be. We are children of God. We just have to learn to act like it. So I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that you have boldness, but also trust and faith. Faith itself is a gift from God. I pray that you would have faith to let go and give your heart to God. Father, I pray for these amazing men. What a joy it is and a privilege that I can stand here. And the only reason I can speak, Lord, is because you've enabled me to speak. And you gave me that gift. And I'll use it the best I can. But Lord, I pray that you bless these men. And that you teach them, as you teach me, to trust you. Strengthen their faith, Lord, in you, so they can give you their whole hearts, so they can give you more and more, and as they learn to give you more, they would feel that it's so good, and it's freeing, Lord, it's freedom. Slavery to you is freedom. It's the only freedom. Lord, help them to give it up. Whatever's in their hearts, whether they can feel it or not, Lord, you know what's in each of us. Lord, stir them up. If they don't know what they need to give to you next, show them. Send us your Spirit to show us what we need to give you next. How we can let go. Teach us, Lord, to let go, to give you everything, to give you our hearts. Amen. We're going to sing our next song now. I'll give you guys a sec. And as we sing our next song, we're going to take up an offering. And this offering will be used as seed money for the next Better Blokes. So you just give as the Lord has enabled you to give. It's a free will offering. You give freely as the Lord has freely given you. And then after we sing that song, the offering guys who are taking up the offering, you guys just bring it back up the front. And we're going to go straight into communion after that. So we're going to go into nothing but the blood of Jesus as we prepare to come together, to commune together.